You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. Back again for another week, extended weekend. I continue to hear more and more people saying, well, just wait. Robert Mueller, the independent counsel, is actually working for or on behalf of Donald Trump. It's just a chess game. Look, it's the indictments. You see, no one was indicted on the Trump team, and it's just a big chess game. No, look, it's really simple. It is what it is. The indictments. I have not spoken about the indictments or talked about them in depth. I went over the indictments this past weekend. Yesterday, 13 Russian citizens, 3 Russian companies, 37 pages of charges. So what are they? Here, I will tell you exactly what's going on here with everything. Because in March, just next month, we are expecting the Office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, his report to be made available to the various investigative bodies. And when that happens, there will be a remarkable change in the narratives, I believe, in the stories by the media, by the press. This is absolutely amazing what we are about to see. We're in the middle of a coup, as I've often said. But let me explain in detail about the indictments and why they are important and why you need to know what's in them, what's not in them, and where this is all headed. So stay with me for this entire show. I will map this out for you, and you'll have ammunition for your social networking feed. You'll have ammunition to talk with that stubborn, obstinate family member that sits across from you at the table, perhaps, or a neighbor or a coworker. You will be informed. Better informed at the end of this program. I'll tie it all up for you. First and foremost, blasted across every media outlet, well, almost every media outlet, 13 Russians indicted as Robert Mueller reveals effort to aid Trump campaign. That's the headline of the New York Times, and that was on Friday, February 16th, all right? Listen to that headline again. 13 Russians indicted as Mueller reveals effort to aid Trump campaign. That's the headline. Now, when you look at the indictments for yourself, that's a misleading headline. I'll tell you what the text says in the New York Times. The Justice Department charged 13 Russians and 3 companies on Friday in this sprawling indictment that unveiled a sophisticated network designed to subvert the 2016 election and to support the Trump campaign, period. That's the first sentence of this article. But when you look at the indictments, that's not there. No, it's not there. It is absolutely wrong. You talk about fake news. That is fake news. The article continues that this network stretched from an office in St. Petersburg, Russia, into the social feeds of Americans and ultimately reached the streets of election battleground states. Okay. You get the idea. I'm not going to read the entire article. At best, what is taking place here and is stated definitely in the indictment is that the Russian conspirators wanted to promote discord in the United States and undermine public confidence in democracy. It's kind of a interesting word, not correct. That's according to Rod Rosenstein. He's being quoted in the New York Times, the Deputy Attorney General overseeing the inquiry. All right. So what are these? What do the indictments say? If we're not talking about connecting this to Donald Trump, where does this lead? And the what exactly is taking place here? It was interesting because Dan Bongino had really done a great program on this yesterday, and I'm going further because, of course, we're looking at something much bigger, I believe, in the groundswell of this uprising, this attempt to delegitimize Donald Trump and to overturn the will of the American people. What's behind this? Of course, we know it's a spiritual battle. We know that it's a bigger battle than what we're being told. We know that there is an active coup right now to overthrow the President of the United States. Even today, it's still taking place, and it's being done via Mueller being the independent, via the independent counsel. Look, this, and you may roll your eyes. I can almost hear your eyes rolling in the back of your head saying, oh, not this again. Come on. Move on. There's different things to talk about. But at the end of the day, this is the most important story of our lifetimes. And at the end of the day, this will reveal all of the actors and the perpetrators and the people behind the takedown, the attempted takedown of the of our government. This is for all of the marbles, as a friend used to say to me. This is for everything. Now, Bongino referenced, and I will reference an article in Powerline blog by John Hindrecker talking about why Mueller didn't indict the Russians for meddling in the presidential election. And this is actually a second column of a couple columns that this gentleman wrote. But the indictment, in the very first paragraph, when you look at the 37 pages, the very first paragraph says that it is against the law for foreign nationals to spend money to influence U.S. elections or for agents of foreign countries to engage in political activities without registering. Okay, now here's what's going on right now. The Mueller indictments of the 13 Russians and three entities, these indictments were not about interfering with our elections. In fact, the indictments, there's nowhere in the indictments outside of the opening paragraph does it say, are the Russians charged with interfering with our elections? Nowhere. Let me say that again. The indictments do not contain charges of election interference. Okay? Think, just ponder over that for a second. What are we hearing in the media? This proves that the Russians interfered with our elections. Yet nowhere in the indictment are they charged with this crime. Zero. You got that, right? There's nothing here that charges the Russians with election interference. He did not indict the Russians for improper meddling in a U.S. election. Did not. And moreover, he did not indict them for colluding with Donald Trump to interfere with our elections or any member of his campaign. So, wait a minute. What are you saying here? I thought the indictments were, in fact, for meddling in an election. No, they're not. And I'll tell you why. Because the only election interference that was conducted by the Democrats, by the progressives, by the Clinton campaign, and those working for Clinton. That's because if they indicted anyone, it would lead directly to the DNC and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Simply put, Steele was working for Fusion GPS, who was working essentially for Perkins Coie, the law firm, who was working for the DNC, which was managed by Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign. Hillary Clinton owned the DNC lock, stock, and barrel for the 2016 campaign. So why didn't Mueller indict Russians for the most obvious of offenses? Because it would lead directly to Hillary Clinton. Mueller indicted the Russians for the following: violations of 18 U.S.C. 371. 18 U.S.C. 371. Mark that down. Write it down. 18 U.S.C. 371, which is a fraud statute. Conspiracy to defraud the United States. Two additional fraud statutes. 18 U.S.C. Section 1343 and 1344. Wire fraud and bank fraud, respectively. So you've got three charges so far. 18 U.S.C. 371, which is conspiracy to defraud the United States, and then a more narrow charge, 18 U.S.C. 1343, wire fraud, and then 1344, which is bank fraud. And then you've got an interesting but somewhat related charge of 18 U.S.C. 1082, paragraph A. That's identity theft. So you've got really one, two, three, four charges delineated here in this indictment. 37 pages. What is missing? He did not. They were not indicted for violating 52 U.S.C. 30121. Okay, now, on your piece of paper, if you're taking notes, make note of this. 52 U.S.C. 30121, 30121. That deals with contributions and donations by foreign nationals. That cannot be done in a U.S. election. If it is, you've got to register. There's a process, a whole big process to go by. That would be the statute under which they would be charged for election tampering, election meddling, election interference. It's nowhere to be found in the 37 pages. None of the 13 foreign nationals were charged with violating 52 U.S.C. 30121. None of the three companies were charged with that violation. Why? Why weren't they charged? The article in Powerline blog, this author does take pains to explain that the relevant language of 52 U.S.C. 3121 that covers meddling in U.S. elections by foreign nationals, it is prohibited, okay? And I'll go through this because I think this is important. It's prohibited. It's unlawful for, one, a foreign national directly or indirectly to make, a contribution or donation of money or anything of value, or to make an express or implied promise to make a contribution or donation in connection with a federal, state, or local election. In other words, saying, okay, here's $50. Go and buy that vote over there. And kind of, sort of, in a way. Or here's $100. Go and make sure that you drive Aunt Jenny to the voter poll and walk her in there and put her hand on that lever and make sure they vote. For whoever. Or here, I'll wire you some money. Okay, so that's 52 U.S.C. 30121A. Now, B, same statute. A contribution, it is unlawful for a contribution or donation to a committee of a political party or an expenditure, C, or independent expenditure, disbursement for an electioneering communication. That sounds pretty legalese, okay? But and it is, like a lot of legalese. But look, the relevant language of 52 U.S.C. 30121, well, even more than that, the 52 U.S.C. 30121 was not violated, or at least they were not charged with violating that election tampering law. Noted by this author, and again, the author's name, you could look this up, is John Hinderaker, I guess. The relevant language here, what this author postulates is that the Russians obviously violated the statute. They spent millions of dollars to promote the candidacies of Bernie Sanders. And why not? He's a socialist, right? Donald Trump and Jill Stein. And to oppose the candidacies of Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. So why weren't they charged with the most pertinent crimes they committed? Why? Well, asserts the author, it's because Christopher Steele arguably violated the same law. He's a foreign national. He contributed a thing of value, in air quotes, or in actual quotes, to Hillary Clinton, her campaign. And what was that thing of value? The 35-page fake, unsubstantiated dossier. In other words, myself as an investigator, if I was hired out to do a background check on someone that's running for office, and someone paid me money in my capacity, and I created this fake document, and that was used in an effort to torpedo the election or to change or sway the election, that's what this is. That's what this is talking about. Now, the FEC, and you can look this up yourself, the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, their instructions regarding contributions by foreign nationals is pretty specific. Now, there is a volunteer exception. In other words, if you're from another country, you can volunteer your services to a political campaign. You can go put flyers on doors and, you know, campaign. It doesn't matter if you're Canadian or if you're whatever. It does not matter. Or you can volunteer at the office. But Christopher Steele was not a volunteer. He was on the payroll. He got paid for the creation of that fake dossier. Now, no one was charged. Again, no one was charged with Section 302 or 30121 of 52 USC of the Crimes Code, or the U.S. Code. 52 USC 30121 is the pertinent crime. Yet no one was charged. Why? Why didn't Mueller, if he had all of the evidence, why did he overlook the most relevant federal offense that the Russians committed? And instead, he charged him with bank fraud, wire fraud, identity theft. What? Wait. I thought you said that this proves Russian collusion. Aunt Jenny? No. Anything but. No. Mueller overlooked the most relevant federal offense that the Russians committed, instead charged them with a vague conspiracy to defraud, along with wire fraud, bank fraud, identity theft, noting that the first charge is entirely discretionary on Mueller's part. And by the way, Steele didn't commit wire fraud, bank fraud, or identity theft. So why did Mueller choose not to indict the Russians for meddling in the U.S. presidential election? It's because it would lead directly back to Hillary Clinton. Think about this for a second. And think about this in the shadow, as we approach March, when the Office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, he's preparing a report of his investigation, because the handcuffs were taken off, the shackles, the leg irons were taken off of Horowitz, the Inspector General of the of the DOJ and FBI. Finally, his handcuffs were taken off when Trump got in. So that's coming out next month. But this is important to understand, that no one was charged, that the 13 Russians, the three companies, were not charged with election tampering, period, on behalf of anyone. The reason, and I said it at the opening, I'll say it again, the reason is because if they were charged with that, it would reveal that all roads lead directly back to Hillary Clinton. And oh, by the way, all roads lead directly back to Barack Hussein Obama. That's where we're at with this. This is so important for people to understand, and we need to understand as well. We have to stop listening to the people who believe. I believe this to be the case. This is my viewpoint, based on a lot of reasonable research and investigation, that Robert Mueller is not working for the good. He's not a whitehead. He's not working for the good of the country. This, we are seeing a cover-up operation take place. We're seeing sacrificial bodies being offered up at a cost of $500,000 a month at the bare minimum. Mueller and his team are covering for Hillary Clinton, and they're covering ultimately for the process of overthrowing our country. And that involves Barack Obama as well. Remember back in 2014, the hacks, the Sony hacks. Remember those. It's interesting in the context of the reports that are coming out. We're seeing that reports that the Russians really began in earnest their election tampering back in 2014. What happened back in 2014? You have to take a lot of notes and because news is happening so quickly. Remember the 2014 hack of Sony? Who came out this past weekend and actually took a shot, threw a punch at Obama? Did you catch it this past weekend? It was interesting because Donald Trump actually tweeted something out about Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff came out and said, you know what, Obama should have done more. He didn't do enough about the Russian meddling. Well, what does that even mean? Schiff said that Obama's lax response to the 2014 hack of Sony helped encourage the Russians to pull off their influence campaign in the 2016 election. Schiff was on NBC News. He said, I think that others around the world watched that and determined that cyber is a cost-free intervention, meaning that they watched what happened with Sony in 2014, Obama's lax response to it, and said, hey, we could do some things here. The American public, Schiff said that Obama and his people should have done much more to alert the American public that there was interference in the 2016 election. I'm not sure how you do that, but that's what he said. And then, of course, we had Donald Trump tweeting out, it was 7:22 on February 18th. Finally, little 2Ds, by the way, Adam Schiff, the leaking monster of no control, is now blaming the Obama administration for Russian meddling in the 2016 election. He's finally right about something. Obama was president, knew of the threat, and did nothing. Thank you, Adam. This is a tweet by Donald Trump. You got to love this guy because he's actually tweeting out the truth, and he's bypassing all of the media. He's using Twitter as the instrument, as an effective instrument. You've got to love what he's doing, even if sometimes you don't agree with how he's doing or what he's saying. How he's doing it is just incredible. He's reaching the people, and he is playing certain people. Oh. But this was on Sunday when he sent that tweet out. Again, February 18th of 2018. So Donald Trump, President Trump, Sunday, he actually praised Adam Schiff for putting some of the blame for Russian interference in the 2016 election on former President Obama, according to this article, as well as, where is this? This is the Washington Examiner. I'm just referencing here. But additionally, some 20 minutes later, Donald Trump sends another tweet. Now that Adam Schiff is starting to blame Obama for the Russian meddling in the election, he's probably doing so as yet another excuse that the Democrats, led by their fearless leader, crooked Hillary Clinton, lost the 2016 election. But wasn't I a great candidate? Again, you've got to just love what he's doing out here. And pay attention to his tweets as well. Because obviously, you know, I don't think that Donald Trump is actually sitting there with a phone tweeting out these messages. You gotta think that his staff is certain people that, for example, when I send the tweets out, do I send them all out? Of course not. On my Twitter account, no, I don't. Sometimes I'll ask someone, I'll say, this is what I want to say. Can you just tweet that out? And that's kind of what I think Donald Trump is doing as well. But you pay attention to some of the tweets, because I do believe there are messages in those Twitter messages beyond the actual words. Okay, and I'm not going to get into that today. Just consider that, especially consider that if you are a follower of some of the information by QAnon and Q, that is, if you're aware of that, if you're familiar with that, and I'm not going to get into that because, but you get the idea. But the bottom line is, back to the point is very simple. The fact is that no one in the indictments were charged with election tampering. No one, not one person. And the reason why they weren't, the bottom line is, if they would be, it would lead directly back to Hillary Clinton, the DNC, and it would involve a conspiracy of the largest sense. In the largest sense, I'm telling you right now, Christopher Steele was paid for. Ultimately, when you take away the middle people, who was he working for? The Clinton campaign. Plain and simple. I think we've established that beyond any reasonable doubt. I don't think that we need to really. I think we could take that evidence into a court of law and confirm that. And writes the man, back to the Powerline blog post. He wrote that, I don't doubt the election lawyers could come up with defenses for Christopher Steele were he to be charged with violating that specific section 30121. But that's a can of worms that Mueller did not want to open. Too many people know the facts behind the Steele dossier. And if he had charged the Russians with meddling in the presidential election under that statute, he would be facing questions about why he didn't indict Steele, or why he didn't indict Glenn Simpson, why there was no indictment of the law firm Perkins Coie. How about the Clinton campaign officials? And even perhaps Hillary Clinton herself for that same offense. And there it is. So Mueller deliberately failed to charge under that statute, deliberately omitted any charges under Section 30121. Instead, choosing the more opaque conspiracy to defraud, along with wire fraud, along with bank fraud, along with identity theft. So, there you go. Now, at the end, just to wrap this up, okay, the author of this article I referenced at the Powerline blog says, at the end of the day, I freely acknowledge that my hypothesis is speculative and may be wrong. But the question remains, why did Mueller recite in the indictment's first paragraph that it is against the law for foreign nationals to spend money to influence U.S. elections, implicitly recognizing that was the essence of what the Russians did, yet not charge them? Why didn't he charge him with that crime? I don't think it's speculative at all. I think it is what it is. Sometimes the evidence speaks for itself. And failure to charge is indicative, I believe, of this coming back around to bite Hillary Clinton. And if to those people who believe Mueller is working on behalf of the white hats, so to speak, or the good guys, then this was his opportunity to once and for all show the world what was really going on and what still is going on. The process to delegitimize a duly elected president of the United States. And the people are spreading the lies, the misinformation, saying these indictments prove or are stepping stone to Donald Trump for collusion, when in fact the opposite is true. That's the entirely opposite. So there it is on the indictments. You can read the indictments for yourself. You can see what is there and what is not. And I think it would be pretty. Look, when you read the indictments, some websites have them, have the indictments, and they're properly formatted. Others don't. But I'll put a link up to the indictments so you can read them for yourself and find out what is there. But there's, just to recap this, the relevant law election tampering. 52 U.S.C. 30121, not found anywhere in that indictment. Others, they were indicted for conspiracy to defraud, wire fraud, bank fraud, and identity theft. That's it. So, and again, the omission was deliberate because that would lead right back to Hillary Clinton. Now, I got an email late last night, early this morning. I'm going to thank you, Brenda, for sending this. Saying, you know, I was upset that you weren't on the show yesterday. What happened to you yesterday? Did you take an extra day off? No, I didn't. It's no secret. Look, we are in the fight of our lives. The Hagmann Report, Hagmann and the Hagmann Report, as an entity, we are in the fight of our lives. Now, I'm not going to go into what's going on, but the fact of the matter is, people want to shut us down. There are people, as I speak these words, I can tell you with absolute certainty that there are people actually typing what I write. They are attempting to shut us down. They are contacting our supporters, our sponsors, people who associate with us and saying that we are actually agents, seriously, agents of the Russians, that we are peddling fake news, false news, that we are attempting to panic the American people, on and on and on. And you might think, well, that's just talk. No. No. We are fighting, and I personally am fighting, massive accusations. And I'm not going to go, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done with it. There is a very deep, widespread, and groups of people who are attempting to get us off the air, take us off the air. They are accusing us and accusing me of various things. In fact, I've been accused of everything from money laundering to being an asset for Russia and the Russians, for myself interfering in an election, attempting to sway the public in an election. You've got no idea. So why did I say all of that? The reason I said that is I didn't take yesterday off. I had a meeting yesterday with attorneys. Yeah, because we, and myself, me, look, this the fight is real. There are people who are attempting to take this program away from me. In other words, say you've got to shut them down because they are engaged in these criminal acts. And the reason I'm saying this is that this is not a plea for anything. This is not, if anything, it's a plea for your prayers. But no, I wasn't, you know, at the beach yesterday or taking an extra day in bed. No, I had to meet with attorneys, which, by the way, are very expensive, in an effort to maintain, to continue our forward progress of enlightenment and information, you know, sharing information with everyone. Just so you understand what's going on here. And this is not a plea for money. This is a plea for your prayers. Just keep us in your thoughts and prayers because we are in the fight of our lives. There are people that want to close us down. There are people that want to bankrupt us as well by putting us through an arduous process of the, well, again, I can't say what I want to say because if I did, then you understand. I think those of you who know will know what I'm saying because I'll see these words in print. Trust me, I will. So understand that the battle, the fight is this great. So if someone like me could be the target of operatives out there, it could be anyone. And because really, in the scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not a Russian operative. I'm not someone who interferes with the elections. I'm in the scheme of things, I'm kind of nobody. You know what I mean? But there are people out there so badly want to shut me and us up and shut us down just understand what's happening. So no, I wasn't sleeping in yesterday. I didn't have my feet in the sand in some beach somewhere. No, I was actually busy with lawyers and trying to maintain. I don't, again, I've got to be so careful with my words here. And I wasn't even planning on saying anything, but I have to say it because, well, Brenda, you got a good point. Why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you say on Friday that you were not going to be on the air Monday? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know until late Friday afternoon. I should have written something or said something, but I didn't realize I was going to have to meet with attorneys and such. But having said that, that's what happened yesterday. So understand that there is a war against the truth and the truth tellers out there. And the war is real. And the war is expensive. And the war is like no other. There are multiple fronts of this war. Lawfare, for example, is just one of them. Attempting to rip sponsors away. Attempting to rip supporters away. Attempting to do many things to destroy this platform, to destroy this program, to destroy me personally. And by personally, I'm talking about me and my family. To cause an uproar, chaos, to sow chaos. You see, this is relative to what the communists do. For example, there's no doubt that the Russians / communists attempted to sow discord in the 2016 elections. There's no doubt about that. They did. Just like what I'm going through. Do you understand the discord when you're hit, for example, with legal action or you're entirely, you've got to fight just to stay on the air. And you've got to talk with sponsors. You've got to talk with people who support you. And they say, well, what's going on? I heard this and this and this. And I was told this. And are you really involved in, do you really have a money laundering operation? Do you really have a cabal? Are you really anti-government? Are you attempting to overthrow the government? Are you really working on behalf of the Russians? No. Just because it's not true does not mean that you don't defend against it. You got to respond to it. It's the same here. The discord that is being sown in our society is from the communists, really the globalists who adhere to the communist ideology, which is effective. The discord, sowing discord, it's effective, and it's an effective way to take down your enemy. To propel lies against you and me and Donald Trump and the people who really care and love freedom. That's the effective way. And I want everyone to understand what's going on here. Did the Russians meddle? Yeah, they did. The communists did. Of course they did. The progressives. The globalists did. Of course they did. It's nothing new. None of this is new. This is a way to take down the United States. And in my case, it's just a smaller way. Same template, same playbook. Same thing. Just on a very smaller, more focused scale. So that kind of explains a couple of things. It explains the tactics, shall we say, and explains what we're going through here. And again, it's not a plea for anything. It's just to kind of keep you informed. Because if this is happening to us, look, it's happening to us as a nation. It happened to us as a nation back in 2016. It continues happening today. The idea here is for the globalists, and I say communists because the globalists, the people who are anti-nationalist, they adhere to the communist ideology. That's people in my generation, we understand, for example, the communist ideology. So when you say communist, you know exactly what we're talking about. Globalist is kind of a vague, rather opaque term. Well, exactly what do you mean by globalist? But think of a person that's adherent to a communist ideology. That's kind of the globalist, the collectivism, and many good books on collectivism and communism. But that's what's taking place. And it's still taking place today. It didn't stop with the election of Donald Trump, and that's what you have to understand. It did not stop then. And it's only going to get worse. That's what I really want to drive that home. It's only going to get worse for the American people if it is not stopped and identified by the people in charge. And I think, I do believe, now I'm talking about the nation now, I do believe that when the Office of the Inspector General, when that report is released in March, that will be a terrific game changer for everyone. It is going to expose the deeds, the nefarious machinations of the Clinton campaign, and of, even more importantly, the institutionalized rot within the Department of Justice and the FBI. Because that's the OIG, Michael Horowitz, is his turf, that's his area. It's going to expose that. And how the DOJ and the FBI from Eric Holder way back when, through Loretta Lynch and Comey, and even to a lesser extent, but nonetheless, their Mueller in the FBI, how they all worked as globalists together, using the communist ideology to sow discord in the United States in order to what? To destroy our constitutional republic. It's not a democracy, by the way. It's a representative or constitutional republic. It's a republic. It was designed that way. And we have to take, by the way, we've got to take our language back. I'm kind of veering off here, but we've got to take our language back. We've got to be careful with the words that we say. We don't live in a democracy. A democracy, well, you've heard that, you know, we live in a representative republic. Our language has been hijacked. The words have been hijacked. For example, gay does not mean what it used to mean. Democracy, we don't live in a democracy. And how many other examples can you think of? You can think of many more. So we've got to take that back. By the way, I do have to mention Occupy 2018. That's going to be held in Canton, Ohio. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. All right. I'll put a link in the show description. Actually, just go to HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com. And on the right-hand side is the 2018 or Occupy 2018. There's a link to it there. You'll see it. It's a graphic. I'll be speaking there along with Joe and Russ Dizdar and Paul Bigley and others. Luminaries a lot better than me, but I'll be talking about this very issue at Occupy 2018. So it's filling up fast. It's in Canton, Ohio, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Folks, register because it is filling up quick. So go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link to Occupy 2018, and I hope to see you there in Ohio, Canton, Ohio, April 20, 21, and 22. It's going to be a good time, and I'll be talking about this very issue. But now then, so I just explained what the Russia, or what the indictment, the Mueller indictment contained, what it did not contain, and the reason it didn't contain the election meddling charge. Because if it did, that would bring down Steele, which would bring down Hillary Clinton. And of course, all of this points to Barack Obama and the collective efforts of the ideological collective efforts to assail our country, to bring down our constitutional republic, to change forever our system of vote, to cast doubt in our election system. No, and I'm not talking about the voting boxes and voting booths. I'm not talking about black box voting. I'm talking about the system as a whole. There's a difference. There obviously we have problems. You know, I am in favor of paper ballots, voter ID. And by the way, this does go back to voter ID. This does go back to the election. To the registration process. We have problems galore with that. And remember, it was under the Clinton administration with motor voter and all this other. Remember the changes made to our election system under Bill Clinton. A lot of people forget that. And of course, that was designed ultimately to do exactly what it's doing today, and that's cast doubt into the integrity of our elections and our electoral process. Remember the run-up to the elections, 2016. Remember all the back and forth between Trump and Clinton, President Donald Trump. Remember remember him being asked if he would concede if he lost on election night. And he really didn't give much of an answer. He kind of did what Donald Trump does, and that's just not really answer that. We'll see when time comes. And Hillary Clinton and everyone made this big deal about, oh my goodness, how dangerous would it be for democracy? Again, there's that word democracy. How dangerous it would be for our country, our nation. But the bottom line is, look, I think he knew. He knew what was going on. And all of this is being used to cast doubt on the integrity of our election system and to look at Donald Trump as a illegitimate president. He got there via illegitimate means. And look at all of the people in Hollywood. Look at the social media feed. What is all of this saying? What are they saying? It's to delegitimize President Donald Trump. And I will go one step further. If they cannot bring Donald Trump to the point of impeachment, they will use whatever means is necessary in order to take Donald Trump out of office or to nullify, to delegitimize him, to make him ineffective, to render him ineffective politically. Hey, he's got early onset Alzheimer's. He's got dementia. We need to invoke the 25th Amendment. We need to impeach him. We need to do this and do that. Notice how he is under fire every single day. What is happening? Did I just not describe active measures? What are active measures? Well, active measures is a tactic. It's a method. It's a method of operation. It's an agenda. It is an attempt to sow disinformation, among other things, in order to destabilize a country, that being the United States, or an entity or organization, whatever it might be. But it's a tactic of the communists. It's a tactic of the globalists, the progressives, the adherence to this new progressive, this new progressivism. It's the new left. We don't have Democrats anymore, by the way. The Democrat-Republican meme, that's long gone. We know that. What we have are the globalist adherence to communism, the collectivist. That's what we've got. And they are fighting tooth and nail to bring down the United States every single day. That's what we're looking at. It's a war. And you're in it. Whether you like it or not, you're in it. So am I. You know, the war is not going away. And that's why I brought in the Russian indictments, because we have to understand what is taking place, what we're being told. No, not election tampering. At least that's not the charge. What you're reading is not true. What you're hearing is not true. Look at the indictments for yourself. It's like this Orwellian world. But one thing I want to mention as well, and I start out the program by saying Mueller is not a white hat. He's not working for us, the American people. He is not working for the truth. Sarah Carter had an interesting piece last week, and she was talking about the top attorney in Mueller's special counsel's office. And of course, that is who? Andrew Weissman. And if you want to know about Andrew Weissman, pick up the book Licensed to Lie by Sidney Powell. Oh, an absolutely incredible work. But in the case of Sarah Carter, of course, a reporter who appears on Fox News and has her own website, sarahcarter.com, with respect to Andrew Weissman, consider that in 1997, he was officially reprimanded by a judge in the Eastern District of New York. Why? He withheld evidence. Man, that is a big no-no. Exculpatory evidence. And Sidney Powell, in her book, Licensed to Lie, goes into all of what happened. And you think you know, for example, what happened with Enron. You hear the word, what do you think of when you hear the word Enron? You think of massive corruption. Or Arthur Anderson. Oh, massive corruption and cover-ups and such. Well, the truth is much different than what you hear. But back to Sarah Carter. In Mueller's team, the top attorney in Mueller's special counsel's office is Andrew Weissman. Now, the top attorney in Robert Mueller's special counsel's office was reported to the Department of Justice Inspector General by a lawyer representing whistleblowers for alleged corrupt legal practices more than a year before the 2016 presidential election and a decade before to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, again, Sidney Powell goes into that, into what exactly what he did in her book, License to Lie. And he's often described, Weissman is often described as Mueller's pit bull. Well, in 2015, he was selected to run the Department of Justice criminal fraud section. And he was later hand-selected by Mueller himself to join the special counsel's office, their investigation, into alleged obstruction and alleged collusion between Donald Trump and Russia, between the Trump campaign and Russia. But when you look at Weissman, when you look at how he got to where he's at, you're seeing something totally different than is being represented in and by the media. He's been described as a very tough prosecutor, but his involvement, for example, in a case targeting the Colombo crime family in New York, in the Eastern District Court. Well, when you look into that, you're going to see something totally different. Civil rights and criminal defense attorney David Schoen. He was the lawyer who reported Weissman, his conduct. He met with Inspector General Michael Horowitz. Boy, does that name ring a bell? And several FBI officials to discuss Andrew Weissman, his conduct back in 2015. Now, Schoen himself denies being partisan at all. He's not a member of any political party. He's got no dog in the race, according to him. And he reported Weissman's egregious actions in previous cases. So take a look at the previous cases. And he himself became involved in the Colombo crime cases more than 20 years ago after evidence revealed that the prosecution withheld exculpatory evidence in the case. And that's not the only case. There are more. But you talk about some extreme situations. Every individual charged of a crime deserves due process. What Weissman did, according to many, and according to the book License to Lie by Sidney Powell, great book, I highly recommend it. I've got no financial, no interest in it, you know, outside of liking the work. When you get down and look at Weissman, Andrew Weissman, who he is and his conduct as a prosecutor, you'll see something that is frightening. And that's somebody out of control, withholding exculpatory evidence, violating people's civil rights, violating the law, the spirit and letter of the law. In fact, so much so that he was taken off. In fact, he was sanctioned. And Sarah Carter does cite Sidney Powell, who is an appeals lawyer in Dallas, who successfully challenged Weissman's task force in the Justice Department during, for example, during the Enron case. Okay. I would recommend reading, go to sarahcarter.com and read the article about Mueller, Robert Mueller, or I'm sorry, Mueller's pit bull, Andrew Weissman. That's the title of the article. And also License to Lie, the book itself. And you'll see who we're dealing with. You'll see why we are not talking about a quest for truth in the Mueller independent counsel. We're looking at something that is a far greater threat to our nation than that. Mueller is not working on our behalf, nor is, in my belief, is he working for the truth. He is running interference. He's running defense for Hillary Clinton. And by the way, early on, I mentioned Robert Mueller, the budget for the independent counsel. Note that Judicial Watch, I threw a figure out there, $500,000 a month. That figure is not, it's based on what I've what I've researched, but can it be verified? No. And I do want to point out that Sarah Carter, in her Twitter feed, retweeted a Twitter message from Judicial Watch, where, and I find this very interesting and relevant to what we're seeing today, the Department of Justice, under Jeff Sessions, has so far refused to release the budget for the special counsel Mueller's out-of-control investigation. Now, Judicial Watch is seeking that information through a FOIA lawsuit, not a FOIA request. The FOIA request, no, it didn't go. It didn't work. How's that working for you? How's the FOIA process working for you? But they've had to file a lawsuit. People of America deserve answers. They deserve accountability. They're not getting it. We don't know how much, really. At the end of the day, we don't know how much this office of the special counsel, independent counsel, is costing Americans. And why is that important? Because you've got really an out-of-control, runaway investigation. And I want to point that out. And the Jeff Sessions Department of Justice is denying and has denied Judicial Watch and the American people this information as to how much. It's not a national secret. I mean, it's not an issue of national security. My goodness, just tell us how much you're paying for this guy and for this team. That's all we want to know. It's important stuff. I hope you found some information that's valuable. Of course, the essence of today's show was I spoke about the Russian indictments. I did not have a chance this weekend or yesterday to talk about the Russian indictments. Now I did. Hopefully, you're more educated about that. 37 pages, you could have read them, but the bottom line is nothing with collusion, certainly nothing against Donald Trump. It's all these crimes of identity theft, bank fraud, and 13 Russians, 3 Russian companies, but the reason behind it is the most important. And I just want to button that up. The reason behind it is so important because had they charged under the applicable statute, that's 52 USC 30121, had anyone been charged with that, that would open the doors, that would lead right to the Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton herself. So Mueller is obviously running interference for Hillary Clinton. We are not seeing justice done, but we're seeing justice denied. We're not seeing a truly independent counsel. We're seeing a biased political hit job. And that, of course, at the end of the day, is to take down our representative republic and, of course, Donald Trump. Hopefully, you got that out of today's show. And I've often said every day, to me, this is the most important story of our lifetimes. I've been alive on this earth a long time, more than I care to admit. And I remember Watergate. I remember Iran-Contra. I remember all of this. We are in the fight of our lives. By the way, I do want to talk, I want to mention this because I've gotten some emails about this. There's a pro wrestler, former pro wrestler, coming forward with allegedly information about the two young teenagers that were killed on the railroad tracks in Mena, Arkansas. I mentioned Iran-Contra. I mentioned, of course, the Clintons. You may recall hearing the deaths of the two teenagers on the railroad tracks. I will be talking about that. There's information that I've got that I want to talk about, and I think it's part of a larger... The reason I didn't do it today, or I haven't done it so far, this is part of a much larger criminal conspiracy than just one issue or a couple of interrelated issues. This goes deeper. It involves both Republicans and Democrats, which, again, bad labels. It involves people that you think are good guys, but they're really not. It involves people that are obviously bad guys. But I will get into that as well as other things. But I want to thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your prayers of support and your support itself. It means so much. Without that, we would not be able to do what we're doing. I do want to wish you the best. Tune in tonight to the flagship show, The Hagman Report, at 7 o'clock. I want to thank Eric the Tech for everything he's done. Tammy, thank you so much. And to everyone out there, just have a blessed day. Be blessed. Be strong. We're going to win.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.